I'm Emily Feed, author of This Vicious Grace, coming in summer 2022 from Wednesday Books.
And I'm Anna, a teacher and a writer in the Queery Trenches.
And you're listening to Basic Pitches, where we...
Two basic pitches.
Break down the basics of writing and being a writer. Already.
God, hey. Yes. Oh, no. No, we're not starting.
I hate everything. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Emma. Darn it. I always get you.
I believe Anna is just specifically referring to hating audio devices.
Yes.
Not everything in the world.
All things audio. We talked about this before where it was like, if you want a professional podcast, go somewhere else. And that's not just about, you know, how we talk about these topics. It's about the audio editing as well.
Anna does all of that. And I just want to say to everyone listening that if you just listen to an intro and I'm still using the old title of my book, I give you permission to mock me mercilessly on Twitter. It's been like 3 episodes since I got a new title and we haven't re-recorded the intro. Yeah. We're going to do that.
Maybe
we're
that's
that
on
this
our
time.
List of things to do today.
That is on our list of things to do today. Because I have a new title. Yay, new title.
Yay, new title.
I might even have a...
What is it again?
It is This Vicious Grace.
Coming. And it comes out when?
Summer 2022. And I might even have a publication date, but I am waiting for it to be confirmed. So I will just say if the publication date is the real one, then it's less than a year. Less than a year.
That's exciting.
Only in publishing world is less than a year, like, soon.
Well, I said, like, I told you we had family over for, like, that last Sunday or whatever, and I was telling them about, they asked about the podcast, and I was talking about you, and I was like, yeah, Emily, she has a book coming out next year, less than a year from now, and, like, I had this big reaction, and no one else did.
They were all
and
like,
then
wow,
I remembered,
like,
oh, eternity. You're not writing people.
Yeah. I know. I always forget, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, finally, it's getting close, and, like, it's still almost a year. But, yep. You know, I got this, I went on submission in late March of 2020. Like, my book sold in early April, late March, I don't even remember the exact dates, but, like, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Especially in the year that, like, time stood still. It's like, I can't, I don't even have a gauge of how long ago it was, because I feel like I've just been sitting in the same room for, like, 15 months. The world hasn't changed. And now I'm, like, emerging from my cave and remembering that, like, anyone that isn't, like, a friend on social media is just like, how's it been going? And I'm like, oh, they don't know. I have a book. But then I'm like, I have a book. And they're like, yay, can I buy it? And I'm like, oh, no, not, no.
No.
Not yet. We don't even have a pre-order link yet. We're getting there, people.
We're getting
slow
there.
Slow and steady.
We're almost there. Which...
Yeah.
Is appropriate for us to talk about because this episode is going to be, I guess, I don't know. With us, it's never dry. We're always going to giggle and go on tangents, but it's a little less, you know, I don't know how to say. It's going to be a little more procedural.
More informative.
Informative.
Just, we're just, you know, we're always realizing what we don't know. And I almost said, like, back in the day, before I knew how publishing worked, like I know how publishing works now.
Does anyone know how publishing works?
No, I don't think they do. Except for, like, the editors and the in-house people who, like, bless them, they don't realize that we don't know these things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing. Yeah. There are always things that I'm like, what? How do I? When does who that? And I don't know who to ask half the time,
Is this an appropriate analogy for, like... editors and those in-house folks, they think that they are about to build a rocket with rocket scientists who know just as much as they do, but then they turn around and it's a bunch of kindergartners and they're
like finger paint.
Yes.
Yeah, that is really accurate.
Like,
yes.
Okay.
It is a weird industry where, like, the writers are the talent and yet we have no clue how the industry works.
I'm sorry.
And we have to remember that, like, editors do this all day, every day. Like, they, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's one of those, like, just like you don't know what you don't know until you know it. Like, the flip side of that is you don't know what other people don't know until they ask you.
So,
like, you know what I mean? Like, my editor is fantastic. I mean, you're not supposed to have dream agents and dream editors, but whatever. I do. I do. She's fantastic. I'm still, you know, kind of blown away every day that this, you know, editor who has worked on some of, like, the coolest books out there is, like, my editor now. So, you know, I don't want to be difficult. I don't want to be a pain in the butt. So I don't want to send all these, like, so that thing you mentioned last week, what's that? What is that? What you doing? Well, how, you know, so we'll talk a little bit about that just so that someday maybe some of our listeners won't have to do the awkward, like, tiptoe dance of asking their editor or their agent, because also my agent was an editor before becoming an agent. Uh-huh. So it's a bit of the same thing. So right. Like, I was her first agent client. So we had to kind of learn together because it was kind of the same thing. Like, she would be like, oh, yeah, well, you don't have to worry about that until, like, this part and this stage and this department. And I was like, I don't know what you were talking about. Who are these people? Sales and marketing and promotion are all they're different. They're different peoples. Where are they? Who are they? I don't – yeah. So, yeah. My thing right now, we're going to go reverse order because right now I believe this week, which is in the past because this is a podcast that's not live, is what they call list launch or internal launch. Because for a while I would see editors like tweeting like, tomorrow I'm going to launch this book. And I was like, I thought that book already came out, or I thought that book came out next year. And then I realized, like, a lot of times it was like with duologies or sequels. And what it was is the editor was taking the book, I think, I might even be getting this wrong, kind of like basically like the copy edits are usually done, like the book is kind of ready to go, and it's usually a year ahead of time where kind of like all the editors and all the salespeople and all the marketing people all kind of get together, and the editors get to be like, so right now it's summer 2021, so like next summer, summer 2022, like this is our lineup of books, dun-dun-dun-dun, like kind of like the red carpet, you know, they're showing off their babies and getting everyone hyped about like next year, because that's sort of when the gears like start turning, because basically for a certain point when you get a book deal, you're just kind of working with your editor for a while, like it's, you know, it's, you're just editing the book, and then at a certain point it's like, okay, now it's actually time to like start working with everybody else and actually move that book from just being like a Word document to actually being a book. So it's kind of like that. It's kind of like they take the book and they each kind of, you know, promote it, talk about why they're excited and all that stuff, so that everyone else that is involved in the production process kind of knows what they're going to start working on.
So would you say that effectively is, and I'm just going to serve just for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm serving as the annoying question person, because
not annoying at all. The very helpful.
I'm still
person.
In those ye old trenches, you know, doing my thing. So I don't know much about any of this. So I'm not going to be informative. Would you say that it's kind of like your book goes from being a book,
like a manuscript,
it goes from being a work of art to a product?
Yes, I think that's fair
to
say.
So this is the idea of turning it into a product, right?
Yeah.
Like you're going to dress it up and make it look nice.
And package it.
That we're going to market it.
I mean, which, you know, it's the lines are always so blurry because, again, part of making a book a product is also art.
Yes.
But I think of it really as kind of like you get a book deal and you're just kind of like hanging out with your editor and your little editor world, and you're polishing the words and you're polishing the story, or honestly, like sometimes ripping it up and putting it back together. And then it's like one day your editor's like, okay, like, yeah, like your job as the writer of this book in a lot of ways is sort of finished. Like there are usually still chances to, you know, like first pass pages. We should go back to the beginning. There are points where you're going to get a chance to like review it, look for typos, like things like that. But for the most part, it's almost kind of when it goes from being something that's between those two people. And now it belongs to like the imprint as a whole, not belongs to, but now it's there. It's a group project all of a sudden, I guess is the best way to put it. So I guess since before we get too far ahead in the future, we can rewind back to the sort of like, you get a book deal. What happens now?
Right.
And the first thing I will say is that every publisher is different. Every editor is different. Every agent's different, which is also why we're always confused. Because everything's different. And we can do a whole episode sometime about like submission, but I'm going to kind of like skip past that to the like, you have a book deal.
Okay. I was going to say, I didn't know how far we wanted to go back as far as like, you're in the query trend. Because a lot of people like, don't understand. Like you're in the query trenches, and then you get an agent.
You get an
agent.
And then you revise, and then you get on submission. Yeah. So I think that's a whole different conversation, and probably one that would be nice to bring in a guest for who's at a different imprint, because then we can talk about how it's different. Because there's lots of ways. But so you got a book deal. Usually, you don't get your contract right away because that's the first time that there are lots of people involved. Usually, your agent or your agency are basically sending back and forth a contract with the publisher. Because the publisher is just by nature of the beast is going to try to, you know, get all the things they want, not in a malicious way, but they're going to try to have your deadlines as early as possible and their deadlines as late as possible and all that stuff, whereas your agent's job is to kind of do the opposite and be like, no, the writer gets more time and we don't want you to pay us earlier and, like, all that stuff. Yeah. So you usually have to wait a while. It usually takes a few months, sometimes even longer. And usually this is the point where the agent and the agent's really interested in the contract, because once the contract is signed, it's usually the first time you can get paid. And usually the author is just interested in when they get to tell people. and every, like, publishing house has different rules about that. Some of them want the contract completely finalized and signed and submitted before anything is announced. You know, that kind of thing. I was very lucky. Like I said, I was my agent's first client and I was her second deal. And mm-hmm. so we were both kind of equally invested in, like, sharing this information, not trying to keep it a secret. And my editor was very chill about being like, yeah, go. It's fine. We can go ahead and make the announcement official. So I did not have to wait until every T was crossed and I was dotted before I got to announce, which is good because I have friends who had to wait forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know people that had to wait like 4, 5, 6, 8 months.
We have a mutual friend who had to wait even longer.
Forever.
Like,
I think she was like done with maybe even like going to copy edits before she was allowed to tell anyone, which is kind of wild. So
no, that book is done.
Yeah. And it's she just announced recently.
And she just announced. So it's, I mean,
whew. And it all just depends. But yeah, so usually what happens in terms of kind of logistics is sometimes even before you've signed the contract, you might start edits with your editor. You might not. Basically, with the contract, at least, once the contract is signed, usually that's when you get the first chunk of your advance. And that also keeps changing. Like, it used to be, like, I think usually people used to get, like, half upon signing the contract and then half when they turned in final edits. And, like, that's not – no one does that anymore. Now it's, like, 3, 4, or 5 payments. So now you might have something where you get, like, a third of your advance when the contract is signed, a third of your advance when you turn in final edits, and then a third of your advance when your hardcover comes out. Or fourths. Yeah. It could be a quarter when you sign the contract, and a quarter when you turn in final edits, and a quarter when the book comes out in hardcover, and a quarter when it comes out in paperback. Because, again, publishers, you know, they don't especially want to give you all your money right away. If they can hold on to it longer, that's good for their bottom line. And, again, like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like, I get it. They're businesses. They don't want to hand off money too soon.
And then is this also the time that, I don't know if you want to answer this question or talk about this question at all, but a lot of people hear about earning out.
Yes, earning out.
Do you want to, the mythical earning out. Do you think that's appropriate to talk about here in like a capsule? We don't have to go into detail or anything.
Yeah, but we can talk about it a little bit. We can also do like a more in-depth episode later because I find this fascinating. Yeah. A lot of, so the way
it's tied
that,
into your advance, Drew.
Yes, the way
it's tied
that
directly to it.
Book payment works basically is that the publisher is trying to make an educated guess about how much money they're going to make from any given book. And this is where like, it's a business, not an art thing. Like, it's not about how much they love your book necessarily. Like, your editor is buying books, is ideally buying books that they love, but they also need to, when they find a book they love, they need to get salespeople on board. They need to get marketing people on board. They need to get the finance people on board. And so all those people are crunching numbers, looking at similar books, just trying to say, okay, this book is a book we think might make X amount of money eventually. And then they're doing the complicated mathematical equation of thinking, like, what's the least amount we can offer? But also, like, they can't go over a certain amount because, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to spend $1 billion on a book and then it does not make that money back and they've just lost money.
Right.
So basically what happens is there's the advance and then there's royalties, which aren't really separate things. Like, basically what it is for every book that sells, an author gets a percentage of it. Like, let's say 20%. Mm-hmm. And so an advance is just the publisher saying, hey, we realize that, like, you don't have any money because, because writers don't get a salary. So we are going to give you kind of like what we think is how much your cut of the money is going to be. So like we can just, I'll use round numbers.
Up a number.
Yeah. We'll just say $1,000, which would be a pretty small advance, a modest advance, but like it's a nice round number. So say that you get 20, say your book is going to sell for $10 and you get a 20% royalty rate. And so, ooh, I'm going to have to do math. So you'd need to sell, like, 5,000 books. Is that right? Yes.
I think so.
Yeah. So if you sell 5,000 books, then you, the author, have earned $10,000. And the publisher gets the other, you know, $8, but it's, which sounds like a raw deal, but it isn't once you realize how many people are involved in publishing. Right, so basically, they find a book they like. They're like, we think this book is going to make X amount of money. And based on our math, that means the author would make this amount of money. So we're going to offer them that money up front. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about an advance, aside from the fact that it's just money, is that they can't take it back. So, like, it's kind of like they're lending you the money early, but also it's a non-returnable loan. Like, it's yours. You get to keep it. And then when the book goes on sale, everyone hopes that the book will sell more money, more books than was kind of the original calculation. And if they sell more books, then the author starts earning additional royalties. So if you sold those 5,000 copies, well, now you have done what they say you've earned out, which just means that you have made enough money for the publisher that the, you know, amount that they have paid you, they're like, yes, cool, we're all good now. And now for every additional book sold, you start getting royalty checks.
Right. Right.
And a lot of authors feel a lot of pressure to earn out because there's kind of this, like, I don't even know if it's a rumor, but kind of this feeling on the street of, like, if you don't earn out, your publisher is going to feel like they got a raw deal. They're going to lose money on you. They're not going to want to buy more books. Stress, stress, angst, angst, which isn't entirely true. And I don't have all the math to back this up, but I've read enough tweet threads. It's highly researched over here to understand that it's not quite that simple. And that a lot of times a publisher is still going to be making money off of your book, even if you have not earned out, because that remaining 80% or whatever, you know, they're still getting. And the thing to remember too is until you've earned out, like, it's not like that money has gone into a black hole. Like, if you sell 4,000 copies of that book, they've still got your two books from all 4,000 of those copies. Like, it's not like they're $10,000 in the hole. Like, that's not exactly how it works.
Exactly.
But, yeah. So, that kind of comes down to the whole, like, big advance versus small advance. There's, you know, a big advance is great because you get more money and they can't take it back. But it's also a little more pressure because if someone has said, we think your book's going to make oodles of money, and then your book makes a little bit of money, you feel like,
here's $1 million advance. Yeah. And you sold 10 copies. Exactly. That's like.
Yeah. And but there's also kind of the unfair feeling of the publisher decides how much of an advance to give. Yeah. So it's kind of like if you don't earn out, like, well, it's not your fault. Like, they're the ones.
Right.
If someone comes up to you and prediction. Says, yeah, we think you're worth $10,000. And you're like, okay. And then your book isn't worth $10,000. Like, you didn't make a mistake. And, like, if someone else, so someone gets, say, someone gets a $10,000 advance and someone gets $1 million advance and they each sell 50,000 books. Well, that person with the $10,000 advance, like, their publisher is like, woo, we got a steal here. Like, this was, look at us. We did way better than expected. And then they're going to look at the $1 million book deal and be like, didn't do very well. But both those books did equally well. Yep. The publisher guessed how well they would do.
Right.
Inaccurately in both directions.
Right.
So, but yeah, the one thing that always, like, soothes my soul is it's the author's job to write the book. It's the publisher's job to sell the book. Like, we don't decide what they're going to offer for an advance. We're just, you know, our agents are out there trying to get the best deal they can get, and the publishers are trying to get the best deal they can get, and there's just only so much you can do about it. And there's a lot, you know, we could go into maybe some other time more about how.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Different advances can influence how much support the publisher gives and not, but it's not like a straight line story.
Yeah.
But in terms of the process, so then you've signed your contract, you are starting to work with your editor. A lot of times, I think it's probably pretty standard to say that it's usually about 3 revision passes, I think, is kind of the baseline. You know, often one kind of big structural edit, then another that's kind of more scene level, and then line edits, which is more, you know, on a granular line level, and then your book is ready for copy edits. And some books are going to require a lot more revisions, and other books are not going to require a lot. Because my agent was so editorial, I really only did 2 revision passes. And it was almost like we kind of skipped the first big structural one because I'd already done that with my agent. So really my first round of revision with my editor was really just about adding some more scenes with the secondary uh-huh. characters, just giving them a little more space to breathe on the page, because I had worked really hard to have kind of a nice lean word count when we went on submission, and there was just some room to grow there. So yeah. I got to add about 20,000 words. I didn't really cut anything. I didn't change any plot points. Then we went ahead to line edits, and then it's ready for copy edits. And so that's kind of around that same sort of point where suddenly your book is going to other people, which is interesting. And I had not realized until now how much the editor isn't just an editor. Like, they're like the air traffic controller. Like, I usually, I will get emails from the editor or from her assistant, and everything else kind of goes through them. So if, okay. you know, if they're like, all right, we want to get all the information that we're going to need for the cover designer, like my editor or my editor's assistant will ask me for that stuff, and then they will pass it on to the mm-hmm. cover designer or the map stuff. My current maps are hard.
Emily loves
love topography.
Loves geography. Thinking spatially.
Yes, visuals.
She loves visuals. She loves creating them. Oh, yes. She loves it. It's her favorite thing. Ask her about it sometime on Twitter. Just drop her a message and be like, drop her a tweet and be like, Emily, how's that map going? Do you want to draw something for me? And then she'll be like, I'd love that. It's my favorite.
Sounds great. I'm super excited that I'm getting a map in my book. But there was that moment where they said, you know, so do you think you want a map? And I was like, yeah. Oh, no. Because if they want a map, I'm going to have to draw a map so someone can draw a map, because it's my book. It's my world. And so that was intense enough, trying to draw a map of my fictional world. But there are writers out there who do an amazing job, and they plan everything out. They know where everything is. They know the distance. They know the, I am not that person. So I was kind of drawn just like a little, I was like, what shape? Island? Island is shape of peanut. Island is shape. I literally Googled islands and clicked on images just to be like, what kind of shapes are islands? Like, I don't know. And then
it's just peanut.
Well, the first few times I drew it, it just kept looking like a wonky face, like a profile of a face. And I was like, I honestly considered writing on the page, like, please don't make it look like a face. It's not supposed to look like a face. I just don't know how to make island shapes. I know.
I have no idea why my face is Kelsey Grammer, but please fix it.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, basically my process was, they said, okay, great, we're going to send this to copy edits. And I was like, cool, I don't totally know what that is either, but yeah, woo, copy edits. And then while I was waiting for copy edits, I got lots of questionnaires about, you know, all the stuff for the cover designer, which was like, you know, what do your characters look like? Describe your characters down to everything. Describe the setting, just all the information so that all the people, you know, the next step of people can start with all this stuff kind of in one place. And I don't know, I really don't know how each different publishing house works in terms of that. I think in some places the cover designers are like all in-house and the artists are in-house, and others they're all not. They just hire other people. Some of them, the cover designers read the actual books. Some of them they don't. Like, it's just all over the place. But regardless, they're all going to need basic information before they sit down to start drawing a, you know, what is supposed to be a visual representation of a 400-something page book. Right.
I've heard from some people, just to like iterate on that process, like some folks we know, one who we've interviewed as a guest mm-hmm. that hasn't appeared yet. She got to send in a bunch of mood boards.
Yes.
And like, I did that too. You know, that kind of thing. Right. Okay, good. Yeah. Like, here's a bunch of mood boards. Here's like, and not every, and this is a future episode that we've talked about recording, is like the idea of how much control you mm-hmm. have. Not every author gets that much, you know, say or control or whatever. So that's like, I don't know. I think that's a really cool thing.
Yeah. So I did, you know, I was using like snippets of descriptions of the main characters, you know, copying, pasting all kinds of pictures from Pinterest boards and all that stuff. I think I even included links to my Pinterest boards. So then I kind of sent that away, and that vanished into the black hole of like, I don't, you know, it's going through my editor. It's just, it's disappearing. I mean, I know where it's heading, because I do know who our designer is, but like, I haven't actually directly, other than Twitter, interacted with pretty much anyone yet at this point. It's just me and my editor. I know people are out there, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it makes sense, because all the time you hear on Twitter people talking about their great relationship with their editor, right? Yes. Like, and for me, in my brain, before you went through this process, I had not known anybody who'd gone through it. And mm-hmm. I just thought, like, why do you have such a good relationship yeah. with somebody who's proofreading your book? And yeah. then, lo and behold, no. There's so much more.
Yeah,
so
they are the more. Person. Yeah, the editor. Yeah, I think people who have not had a lot of experience or not known people that have had experience in traditional publishing think editor is someone who just, like, proofreads your book. It's, you know, it's like a hired editor. And it's not. Like, in traditional, like, you know, big five, big four, who knows how many houses there are right now, publishing, the editor is the person who decides that they want your book. The editor is basically the person that pitches it to the people that provide the money and make the decisions. The editor is the one who, like, shepherds the book all the way through the process. Like, it is their, it's their baby. And so, yeah, I kind of saw this first year with me and my editor as sort of like, it was like, it went from being my book baby to being our book baby. And now it's like, here, family, village, whatever. Like, all right, we're right. passing the baby around. Someone's putting right. clothes on the baby. And yeah, someone's naming the baby.
So that yeah. happened. I mean, and that really, like, that all started to happen. And every timing is different.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I see that it happens usually about a less than a yeah. year out
from yeah, I mean, I think out, usually
all this cranks up.
Yes. So I think it's around a year when they start getting ready for these kind of internal launches is when kind of for the first time other people are being roped in. So, like, that's why my title changed, because it's basically uh-huh. like, you know, my editor goes to all the other people and is like, hey, we're getting ready for a list launch. These are the books we're working on. And that's when suddenly you have salespeople, you have marketing, you have promotional people. And suddenly they have opinions, too. And they've, I don't want to say they've been ignoring your book, but they've been working on other books. So this is the first yeah. time where they're kind of looking at your book. And that's often when they will pop up and go, the title's not really giving the vibe that we're trying to give. Can you, right. That's when they'll do things like, asking you to come up with a new title or coming up with a new title for you. So yeah, I went back and forth with my editor and with my agent, and things kind of went, you know, we would get little notifications like, they don't like this. Ooh, they do kind of like this. And, you know, until we found something that we all liked. So then I got copy edits back. So this is when things all start to, like, not be linear, at least for me. Because, again, it used yeah. to be, it was like, I revise, I send back. She looks and gives notes, sends back to me. Like, back and forth, but very, like, just us, straight line. And now suddenly it's like, we've got a map maker. Can you draw a map? We've got the cover person that wants this. We've got the, you know, the salespeople want a new title. And then and it's just like, I just picture my editor being like, you land there, you over there, your question's back here, sending that over to this person. And it, like, right. it blows my mind, because there have been days where I've spent just hours, like, answering map questions and then answering cover questions. And she's doing this for, like, multiple books all the time. Anyway, right. just hats off to editors. They are amazing. So I can't speak too much to kind of, like, what the actual year leading up to publication looks like, because I'm just getting started. But already there's a lot more going on than I anticipated, because I think I kind of thought it was going to be like, it goes to copy edits. And then one day they say, here is a cover. And then you just do nothing until your book comes out, which I don't think is true. Because I have all these friends who are debut authors that were like, oh, it just gets so busy, it gets so hectic. And there was always a part of me, there still is, it's like, what you doing? Why? What are you doing? Because
right.
it feels like the hard part is writing the book. And after that, what do you have to do? And so I'm just right. starting to get a taste of that now. It's all really fun, exciting stuff.
I mean, because some of the stuff I've seen is, like, there's the copy edits, but then there's, like, your last proof where they actually send yes. it to you in, like, gradient shades of, yeah. you know, of the book being released. So, like, yep. Someone I saw was like, here it is in book form without the headers.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the little header designs that are now slammed in there, and, like, just constantly looking over it that way. Yeah. I know that's at least part of the process.
Yeah, so I got copy edits few weeks ago, and this also is when kind of deadlines and things start getting firmer, because now you have a lot of people that are counting on things being turned in on time. So it was, you know, very much more like, here are your copy edits, we need them back by this date, if you can't do that, let us know now, like, because suddenly it's a domino, you got a whole bunch of people yeah. that are waiting for stuff. Copy edits was fascinating. One, I was incorporating everything that I had decided to do based on sensitivity reads, so I had a little more work to do in copy edits than maybe some uh-huh. other people do. But copy editors are what most people probably think editors are.
Right.
Because they're getting in there and they're the ones that are saying, like, you know, you said, she said, which she, there's two she's, this isn't clear. Like, just the really, like, line mm-hmm. level, like, I don't understand where this person is located. Can you clarify? Like, all those little tweaks and adjustments, grammar suggestions, punctuation. A bunch of us in the 22 debut group were all talking because someone was like, did you know that you should not italicize a period? Did you know that you could italicize a period? Because you can. And apparently I wasn't supposed to. Like, stuff like that. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, apparently you do not italicize punctuation, which, like, how do you italicize a period? It's a circle. It can't lean. It doesn't lean. I don't know, but yeah.
So, I weep for my entire book, which has.
Yes. So I've my copywriter actually was in there, like, un-italicizing.
Because that's the whole thing where they turn. They turn on, there's a function on Word yep. and other programs that actually shows all those markups yes. and shows, like, you know, like if you put a space after a period that uh-huh. ends a paragraph, it shows that. Uh-huh. Oh my yeah. gosh.
And those people are magic. Also, for me at least, this is when they like lock that file. Like you can't.
Yeah.
So there are different kind of levels of this, but for copy edits at least, it was very much like we have set it on track changes. You cannot take it off track changes. So like I could make changes in the document. But I couldn't, like, accept or reject a thing. I could just make changes. Because basically they needed a record of everything that's been done.
Dang.
So, for example, like, yeah, if the copy editor fixes a bunch of stuff and then I unfixed it and they knew I was wrong, they might be like, hey, that's not – no, you have to – you can't italicize your periods, Emily. but so there was a lot of, like, me, you know, writing little comments being like, yes, I know this grammar is wrong, but I like it. Like, that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, and my copy editor was also lovely, was, I would say, used a delicate hand, which I appreciate, because I have heard stories of copy editors that go in and, like, make all of your dialogue grammatically correct, and that gives me hives. Mine did not. There were a couple times where she was like, should be clearly, not clear, leave as is, you know, and I was like, yes, aww. Leave as is, because, you know, people don't always speak in grammatically correct sentences.
Right.
So then I send that back in, and then I'm done with copy edits. And then, yes, later there are what's called pass pages, which is when they send it to you, like, all formatted. I think a lot of times that's, yeah. like, a PDF. It used to be, like, they actually would send you printout pages. And yes. so you basically are just going through it that last time and saying, like, you know, whoops, typo here, or, like, I used the wrong name. Please fix this. And that's, like, when you have to kind of, like, write it in or add a comment that specifically says, like, please change this to this because you can't touch it anymore. They don't want
yeah,
to
it's
messing yeah. up their hard work. So, yeah, that was another thing I had not thought about in terms of, like, page layout. Like, in the past week, I've gotten, you know, screenshots from page designers being like, do we want the subheader, chapter header here? Do we want this here? Where do we want the countdown? Should it be? And I'm sitting there going, I don't know. I was just hoping smart people would figure this out for me. And they're like, it's your book. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. I love how much I do, like, to, like, reiterate for the millionth time so everybody knows, like, it's not the same process for everyone.
It's not.
But I love how much control and how much say you get. Like, that's
me too. It's one of those, like, really wonderful things, but it also is intimidating to realize.
Yeah.
Because you just kind of expect, like, a fairy to come right. in and just tell you what to do.
Somebody's like, here's this book. It has these beautiful header yeah. images. It has this wonderful date. It has these great little stars above the
everything
numbers.
Looks
and
perfect.
This map in the front. We did it for you. Goodbye.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think that's kind of what I thought. But I mean, like, I had a moment during copy edits where it was like, we need to make a decision on whether we're going to capitalize Fenestra or not. And it was like, if you use, like, if it's like the word queen is only capitalized when it's part of a title. But in my book, for example, they don't call her Fenestra Elessa. Like, it replaces her name. So it is a proper yeah. noun. But then other times it's not. And I was like, I don't. And I wrote back and was like, oh, well, it could be like this or it could be like this. So I don't know. And the answer I got was like, well, it's your book. Like, we're not going to, like, what do you want to do? And I was like, And so I pulled the room and asked everyone I know. And everyone gave different answers. And I made a decision. And that's what it's going to be. But yeah.
What did you go with?
I went with we're just capitalizing all of it. Because
yeah,
otherwise it looks
I
really inconsistent.
It all the time.
Yeah. 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 So like even if they refer to like the past Fenestra or when she became Fenestra, it just capitalized. People roll with
always capitalize.
It's my fictional world. And yeah, otherwise the grammar rules got weird because there really isn't a. Like, there isn't a word that we use in that exact way, except maybe, like, the president, and that's not even consistent, and yeah. Anyway, so that was the whole thing. Yeah, but same thing with, like, I have my, in my book, it has the chapter, and then it has these proverbs under each chapter, and then there's also a countdown at a certain point in the book, and so there's just a lot of words, and these brilliant artistic people are like, where do you want these? And I was like, I don't, just wherever do it looks pretty. I don't know.
Do it.
Yeah, just. I was hoping you would solve that problem for me. And again, it's always just like, well, it's your book. Like, we want you to be happy with it. And I was like, aww. Yeah, but I also would be happy with you making an executive decision. But no, it's good. It's just been more decision making than I anticipated, which I guess is the name of the game in publishing. So, yeah, so that's kind of where we are now. Somewhere out there, maybe right now, I don't know, is List Lunch, which is still kind of this mysterious thing that, like, I know – my editor writes little speeches, but we don't get to know what she says. I've seen people be like, oh, I want to hear what you said. And it's like, nope. Because again, like, this is the point where they're basically going to the whole kind of imprint and saying, all right, these are my book babies for next summer.
Can I just tell you the image that is happening in my brain?
Sure.
So everybody's in a boardroom that works for Wednesday Books.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody's in there. And on this table, this giant table... the books walk down like on a catwalk.
Yeah,
and they're
that's
like,
what I'm picturing
next
too.
Up, This Bitch is Grace by Emily Feed, coming out summer 2022.
That's exactly she how I picture
long
it.
Long walks on the Amalfi Coast.
Exactly.
Drinking limoncello.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is kind of what it is. And like, they have your bio, they have your picture. I don't know if it's PowerPoint. I don't know, but it's
very much it really is. It is my dream.
Yeah.
It is my vision.
It's like,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, please.
Next up, we have, you know, Vicky's lineup of
books. I want to work in this industry so bad. Please let me. Do they have an MC for those things? Please. I know.
Well, it just, like, sounds like, I know now everything's probably virtual, like, this year, but I know in the past it used to be in person, and I just kind of pictured it as, like, a banquet, like, and I don't know. It's probably not at all that exciting, but it sounds exciting. I don't know what's happening. Yeah, so I don't know. So it's a debutante. It's a debutante ball for the books.
Your book's like, hey.
Yeah, except my book doesn't have any clothes yet.
It doesn't have. The cover thing is like, your book doesn't have clothes. What does it look like?
But it will soon. Or maybe it does. I don't know. I mean, for all I know, maybe they're talking about cover design at this meeting. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. But yeah, but it is kind of weird to be like, what's happening? How's it going? How yeah. people like my baby? Is my baby okay? How's my baby doing over there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's that, and then it all gets real murky because I don't really know what happened.
I was gonna say, and then what we can do is always talk about. We can pick up with this again.
Yeah. Updates later.
Debut.
Yes.
So you can be like, what do we do now? Like, inform us, Emily. Share your knowledge.
Because, yeah, I mean, I think right now, you know, now that everyone's kind of in the room getting those teams together, I think this is really this is kind of when they start to finalize, like, which books are coming out on which dates because they don't want all the books coming out on the same date.
Exactly.
And all that stuff. I don't think most, like, the real promotion and marketing stuff, I think that happens later. That's more like six months from now, I think. But I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, I've been doing things this week by being like, I finally emailed my editor and was like, so with blurbs, I'm assuming I'm not supposed to be sharing them, but should I have been sharing them? And she was lovely and like, no, it's fine. She's like, wait a little bit longer. Once you have a cover, like, I was like, that's good. Cause I just assumed like it's supposed to be secret. It's not really a secret though. I think it's more just like, you know, you don't want to toss all your blurbs out there before you even have like a buy link. Like, you just kind of wait until you have your pre-order links and your cover and stuff. So.
Yeah. I mean, this just, like, proves, like, there's a lot. I mean, even in our last episode with Lissa, you know, she was like, can I tell people that I have a
teacher
now? Like, there's a lot to that. There's a lot. And I think that's – I don't know. If this is for somebody who is newly agented, I think it's informative to know, like, it's okay to not know those things and
then
ask those things. Like, it's okay. It's
totally. Okay. Oh, yeah. There have been times I'm kind of notorious at this point for, like, tweeting out things I don't know. Like, I'll tweet, like, what was it? Oh, I did something, like, just made something about, like, I don't know where, how do sequels start, you know? And, like, my wonderful editor, like, saw the tweet and, like, emailed me and was like, hey, so you didn't ask, but you know you can, right? And also, like, here are some tips on, like, where does it start? And I was like, yeah, I love you. Yeah, so a lot of times whenever I'm like, I don't know how publishing works, like, I'll get, like, a lovely email from my agent or editor being like, you know you could ask us, right? Like, we're happy to answer your questions. And I'm like, I just have so many of them.
I have no idea if Vicky even listens to this
podcast. I'm assuming not, but if so, hi, Vicky.
I assume not. She's so busy. But if she does, or you can just, if this ever comes up in conversation, I don't know anything. I'm not invested. I'm just invested in you and the journey of all these other people. But, like, I see her do that all the time for all of her clients.
She's so lovely. She's
like, I saw her post on Lauren Blackwood or whatever. And I was like, Vicky's so nice. She's so nice.
I love too.
She's
such a good person. Lauren Blackwood, who we might get on the pod soon, and I are our editor siblings, and I adore Lauren, and Lauren always, like, refers to Vicky as, like, our editor mom, and I just picture, like, I don't know why this is. I don't know if this is in my head, but there does seem to be a certain, like, editors sort of have their own brands, their own style, you know, like, based on, like, the books that they're drawn to. And, like, it's a big part of an agent's job is to understand kind of what each editor's kind of personal tastes are. But so kind of because of that, I feel like my editor, Vicky, does sort of have a roster of, like, kind of similar personalities. Like, we're all, like, a little, like, chatty, a little scatterbrained. We spend way too much time on social media.
Yeah, we're real smart, yeah. But then also afraid to ask questions. Yes. And
but so I feel like Lauren's always talented. like, oh, poor Vicky. Like, she's just got this, like, posse of, like, chaos authors, and we're all just bopping around asking questions of each other. And Vicky's like, we just kind of picture Vicky being like, guys, I'm right here. Just ask the question. It's fine. Everything is fine. Like, or, like, I don't know. It's going to be funny if Vicky does listen to this, because, like, we'll message each other and be like, I tweeted a thing about a really dopey book idea and Vicky liked it. Is that a hint? Does that mean she likes it? Should I write that? Does that mean it's okay? What should I? Was that, does it mean something? And I'm sure Vicky's like, no, I'm just being supportive. Do that all the time.
I love it so much. It's so wholesome.
It
makes my heart warm every time I see it. Like, because, you know, like, things will pop up on. Yeah. Gosh, it cracks me up.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Heartwarming.
I like to think that she loves us all. If she's exasperated and frustrated, she doesn't show it. I would not blame her if she was at times. It's got to be like herding cats all the time.
If she drinks wine, please send her wine. Just be like, thanks, mom.
Yeah, but I actually tweeted once about my editor mom reading something, because my actual mother is an actual editor. And Lauren was like, yeah, Vicky's the best. Oh, wait, you mean your real mom? And then, like, another one of Vicky's clients popped up and was like, I thought she was talking about Vicky too. And I was like, no. My actual mom, my actual editor mom versus my quote unquote editor mom. Yes. So, yeah. So that's my what happens between the book deal and the home stretch. Again, it's weird that a home stretch is like a whole year, but publishing's slow. And now I understand why. Because, there's just so much stuff.
Because you took all the time to, like, do all the things. Yeah. And the home stretch has a lot of things in it, so.
I mean, soon I'm going to see, you know, like, mock-ups of covers and, like, sample pages. And I was like, sample pages? What? I'm going to see just pictures of pages? But, like,
I'm excited.
I mean, everything has to be decided. Like, someone has to pick the font. They have to pick the spacing. Yeah. They have to pick whether they're going to use numbers or spelled out letters for the chapter type. Like, it's wild how much stuff has to get decided.
Please be obstinate and say that you want Comic Sans.
And that is why in publishing contracts, they specify what authors can decide and what they do not get final decision making. Yeah, we will do another episode sometime soon about, like, what authors get control over and what they don't. But it is pretty funny to read, like, publishing contracts, because there's a lot of, like, we want everyone to be happy, but also if you want a terrible title, you don't get it. Like, that kind of stuff. Like, because, yeah, I mean, this really is, like, we were talking about, like, with art versus business.
Yeah.
The words, and that's, like, that's a thing, too. When it comes to, like, what you have sold, like, a lot of authors, you know, we think of the actual, like, book, the physical book, as our book. But the thing is, it's not. Like, the words inside the book are my thing. That's mine. And basically, with a publishing contract, you have you have signed a contract that they get to package it, which is the cover and the title and all that stuff, and sell it to a certain market. I mean, that's all it is. Because even when it comes to, like, foreign rights, like, I, because of the way my contract is set up, like, I can still sell foreign rights. I can sell my book to other publishers, which I also didn't realize. Uh-huh. Like, I thought, like, oh, well, if you have a publishing deal with Macmillan in the U.S., yeah, yeah, then it has to be, nope. Like, my book could be sold. My book is, you know, I've already sold German translation rights to a German publisher called LYX. So they could come up with a new title. They could come up with a, they're definitely going to come up with a new cover. Because, yeah, again, it's like the words that I wrote are my words. But I am, you know, I basically sold the permission to my publisher to sell it in the following forms in my contract in a specific location. Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, people get all stressed out about covers and stuff, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal to us authors, but at the end of the day, it's the package. You know, I don't own that cover necessarily because I didn't design that cover. I didn't design the font. I mean, some books have their own font. Like, I've seen books where they even, like, have a little thing in the little front of the book that says, like, this font designed specially by so-and-so. Like, all that stuff is some other artist doing that stuff, which is really kind of amazing, and it's just cool.
My brain.
I know.
My brain. Damn.
But it's wild. I mean, it's just, it's really cool just to think of how many other people out there are, you know, spending their time and their energy and their efforts to take this, like, Word document and make it into a thing, a real thing.
Right.
So it's very cool.
It's amazing. It's a huge process. Yeah.
Voila.
Thanks for talking about that, Emily. I appreciate it.
Happy to. I hope it was.
I promise I'll do more jabberjaw lifting for our next episode.
Our next episode, which we will not be recording in 5 minutes, we will be recording on a different day, a separate day.
Yeah, we have definitely a schedule. Not. So, what's your what are your writing goals? What are your goals, Emily,
for the next 5 minutes?
We're busy people. Summer
is
busy.
We're very busy. No, it's good. We're front loading. My writing goals are to keep pushing through this this sequel. Now that my copy edits are in, I actually am starting to feel like things are starting to come together. Like, it's like a loose, I don't know, knitting metaphor. Like, there's, like, threads that are all kind of, like, they're all looped around, and now I got to, like, start pulling those strings tight to actually make it into a sweater. I don't knit.
Do you feel like letting go of one project allowed you to kind of, like, okay, yep, it's that old shtick. Yeah. I finally felt that this week.
Yeah, so, and my agent kind of said that. Yep. She was like, now the copy edits are in, like, great time to focus on that next book. And I was like, yes, true. Because, I mean, you know, it's hard to get into the zone writing another book when it's like you write a little bit of it and then suddenly you're going back and revising the first one. You write a little bit more of it and then you're doing copy edits. And so it does kind of feel like now my book baby is really, it's really out there. Like, I'll get one last chance with past pages, but then again, it's like it's set. It's basically set at that point. I'm just going through and looking for, you know, final last minute mistakes and stuff.
Right.
So, I kind of put that baby in a, this is just all baby metaphors. I put that baby in a little basket and just, I don't know, what's a Moses, the boat, the sails across the water. I don't know. What do you do? There's no good metaphor for what do you do with
it. Did you just compare your baby to Moses?
No, I'm trying to think of an example where you put a baby in a thing and, like, send it away.
You're sending it to school, Emily.
Yeah, but at school it still comes back home at the end of the day. Whereas I kind of feel like it's like, okay, space science fiction metaphor. Moses? I put that baby into the, you know, the rocket ship. It's like Kal-El, the Superman. I put the baby, and now I'm comparing it to Superman, and blasting it off. And then it's going to go to a place where it's going to be cared for by loving people, and it's going to hopefully become well-known, and I'm trying here.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are your writing goals for this week, Anna?
Not comparing anything in my book to Moses.
Narcissism, thy name is Emily. My book, I don't know, it's kind of like Moses and Superman, but like a book.
Is it? I hope that a fraction of our audience suddenly started singing Prince of Egypt in their head.
Hope so, yeah. No, actually, like, that's probably a really apt.
I can't sing too much of that.
Hey, look, I got plagues. And, no, not plagues. But I have blights and, you know, countdowns.
I mean,
and biblical-ish. It's not biblical.
Maybe yours is just different. Rewriting of it's not no it's not it's my not. Goal for this all save us. My goal for this week is to keep sending out queries every now and then when I can. And then I have started officially, I brainstorming. It has kind of a plot of a new book. So I'm going to keep brainstorming and see how much I get of that. And then hopefully, you know, write in Camp Nano, which would be great.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Camp Nano.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do we need to...
Do we need to do a Camp Nano? Maybe.
Do we need to do a Camp Nano?
Maybe do a Camp Nano.
Do I need to make us a cabin on Camp Nano?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Okay. I'll make us. At this point, I think I'm a part of like 7 different cabins.
Oh, sorry, Anna. You're just so popular. Your diamond shoes.
No, too I tight. Just forget. I always start out. Listen, you can ask our last cabin.
I was already the one in the who same
was
cabin.
Like, let's start this cabin. And then 2 weeks in, I was like, I hate every.
Yeah, no, I'm always like, wee, I'm here. And then it's like the end of the month. I'm like, oh, hey, guys. No, did not actually do any writing, but happy for you.
What if we can find some people to be in a WhatsApp message group instead of a cabin on Nano? Because that website, sorry.
It is. That website is hard. We'll come up with something.
It's not an easy to do website.
But anyone else doing Camp Nano, have fun. Maybe find us.
Yeah. Yeah. Have fun. Let us know how you're doing.
Yeah. We're going to wrap this up and not record another podcast episode right now.
Yeah, definitely not.
Nope. Okay, bye. Bye.
Everyone, thanks again for listening to another episode of Basic Pitches. I'm never going to stop thanking you because it's so awesome that you listen. Remember, if you did listen and you liked what you heard, go find us on Apple Podcasts, give us a rating, give it a thumbs up, whatever it is that the kids do these days. And I'm going to stop talking. Go add this vicious grace on Goodreads, and I will see you next time.